pointing us to the way, the truth, and the life. Here's Pastor Dave Rolfe.
You know, if our guidance comes from what he says, our sense of belief, our sense of conviction, our understanding of truth comes from who he is. And that's why it's so important for us to know Jesus, because he is the way. He is our leader. He is the truth. He reveals to us exactly what it is that we need to know. He is a source of that. That's pretty simple, and you might think it's I'm oversimplifying, but tell Jesus about it. This is just what he says.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel welcomes you to The Balanced Word. Great to be with you today as Pastor Dave Rolfe continues his series in the Gospel of John. A troubled heart, it's something we all encounter at one time or another, and maybe you have a heavy heart even as we speak. The disciples were troubled as well when they realized their teacher and friend was about to leave them. But I'm happy to say there is a remedy for such a condition. Turn to John chapter 14, and let's draw some comfort from the words of Jesus. Here's Dave.
Well, let's turn in our Bibles now to John chapter 14. This year, we're going through the Gospel of John, taking a chapter each week. And we're in the part of John that's dealing with just the last week of Jesus. And in John 14, Jesus begins to really intensely prepare his disciples for the day when he will be gone. And so it's the important things that they needed to know as a result of the fact that although he was there for them every day for the last 3 years, he's telling them, there's going to be a time when I'm not there anymore. I am going to leave. And you can understand, this was upsetting to them. Even though Jesus was saying, I'm going to go die and then I'll rise from the dead, they didn't get past the I'm going to die thing. And when Jesus was saying, I'm going to go somewhere and you can't go, it really was shattering to them, because for the last 3 years of their lives, all they do is follow him. He's their leader. When Jesus first called them, he said, follow me. So it's nice. You don't have to get up in the morning and go, I wonder what I'll do today, or I wonder what we ought to do, or I wonder where we should go. You have a leader who just says, here's where we're going. And it always works out really well. So now they're losing their leader. But more than that, they're losing their teacher, the guy who tells them the truth, the guy who explains things to them so simply, where all you have to do, if you have a question of what to believe, you ask him, and he tells you. It just seems like, wow, what an awesome thing to have a leader who's also a perfect teacher. And more than that, their identities were wrapped up in their relationship to him. They went from whatever they were before to where now they are disciples of Jesus. They find out, this is who I am. This is what my life means. So now that Jesus is going to leave, the reason that's so troubling to them is that we're losing our leader, and we don't know where we're going to go and what we're going to do. We're losing our teacher. We don't know what to believe and what to trust in. And not only that, we are losing our whole livelihood. We are losing our identity and who we are. It's just going away. So here in John 14, Jesus addresses their concerns and says in verse 1, John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. So Jesus is saying in such a strange way, look, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'll come again. I'm not saying when. I'll come and get you and take you back. So don't worry. Well, and then he says, and you know where I'm going. You know how to get there. And they're like, what? We've followed you to the Galilee. We followed you down to Judea, out in the wilderness, over into Jerusalem. We've followed you through Samaria. We've been with you along the Sea of Galilee and down the Jordan. You know, we've been there, and now we have no idea where you're going. And so Thomas pipes up. He's the one of the disciples who's really honest, and he just goes, look, everybody's thinking this, but I'm the only one who's going to say it. Verse 5, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How in the world can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and you've seen him. Aren't you glad that Thomas asked that question? So we get one of the greatest verses in the Bible, John 14, 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. But think about that for a minute. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You're concerned because you're losing your leader. So you're like, I don't know what to do. Who do I follow? He says, I am the way. I am the one who will lead you into the future. And then it's like, well, we're losing our teacher. He says, I'm also the truth. I am also the embodiment of everything that you need to know. You know a lot more than you think you know because you have me. And ultimately, I am the life. Don't worry about what this does to your life, to your identity, to who you are. Who you are will be defined by me. Because of your relationship with me, I am going to give you the life that you were created to experience. So it's like, you think, oh no, we're losing our leader. No, you're not. I'm the way. You feel like, oh no, we don't know what to believe. Yeah, you do. I'm the truth. I feel like, I don't know who I am and what I'm supposed to do with my life. No, I'm the life too. He's saying, I have all of that wrapped up together for you. Now, the rest of chapter 14 basically expands on, you know, kind of the outline that he gives us in verse 6. And so we'll look at some other verses just to see how he addresses this. The first concern is, I don't know what to do. He's the way. Look at verse 15, John 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. And then go over to verse 23. Jesus said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. So you're afraid that you just don't know what to do? Let me make this really simple. Just do what I tell you to do. Just do obey what I have told you. I have given you enough information. I have given you enough commands. You know me. You've been with me. And basically he's saying, what would Jesus do? That's what you do. Do what I told you to do. Pay attention to what I said. It's one reason why the words in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in many Bibles appear in red ink. Because you look at the words of Jesus and go, wow, he said a lot. Well, now he tells them, that will become your guidance. That will become your compass. Look at what I say, and in fact, you'll end up knowing where to go and what to do. It sounds overly simplistic, but the truth is, Jesus spent 3 years with them, allowing people to record key events and key words that he did, and really to follow, to go, to be led. Hey, what does he say? Are you doing what he says? Then he is going to lead you. Now, but again, you're like, yeah, but there's a lot of other information. How do we know the truth? How do we learn in order to live our lives that way? And he said, by the way, I am also the truth. Now check out some of these verses in chapter 14, but beginning with verse 9, Jesus said to Philip, have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I don't speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. So he says, ultimately, you want to know what to believe? Believe me. You want to know God? I am God. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Your heavenly Father has been revealed through what you've seen in me. Now down in verse 16, he goes on and says, and I'll pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, or comforter, or somebody who come alongside to help, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. So he says, you have the Father. So if you want to know what the truth is, if you want to know what you really need to know, you know me, so you know the Father. But then he says, not only that, I'm going to send a comforter, a helper, the Holy Spirit, and he's going to live inside of you, and he will be able to lead you in the same way that I have. And later on, he even says, he'll do a better job of it than I did, because he's leading you from within. So he says, I'm leaving you with the Holy Spirit. And again, in verse 25, he says, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. When we want the truth, we think that the truth is complicated. We think that when we need to know what to believe, we think, boy, this is going to be a lot of work. And frankly, a lot of times I think people have misused Scripture and Christianity to give people the idea that, oh, this is really complicated stuff. Knowing the truth, you need to read in the original languages. You need to see what different scholars say. You need to extract what's been communicated through church history. And we've created this way of understanding what God wants to say to us and turned it into something incredibly complex. Jesus is giving them the idea, and they didn't have any of the epistles or anything else. He's going, the Holy Spirit is going to live inside of you. I am the truth. I am with you because the Holy Spirit is with you. And Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we're all one. And he goes, you actually know a lot more than you think you know. You will know the truth because I am the truth, and the Holy Spirit will allow you to just have that sense. Sometimes when people come to me for counseling, a lot of times they want you to tell them what to do. I mean, and wouldn't it be comfortable if there was somebody who just goes, look, I don't know what to do, tell me what to do, and you tell them what to do? But sometimes when someone says, well, I don't know what to do, I'll just look at them and say, you know what you're supposed to do, right? And they go, whoa, how'd you know? And I go, because I know, I'm the same way. When I know what to do, I pretend like, I convince myself that can't be right. And so I try to complicate things. I look for loopholes. There are people who feel like really convicted about something that they are doing in their life, but they desperately study the Bible hoping that there's a loophole, hoping that they don't have to do what they feel that God is telling them to do. And if you study hard enough, you can justify just about anything. But Jesus says, when it comes right down to it, you know the truth because I've taught you and I'm with you and my Spirit will be living inside of you. Trust that. This is not some giant puzzle that you have to solve. If you know me, you'll know the truth. See, in the Old Testament, following God was really confusing because he would speak and then he wouldn't say anything for a few hundred years and then he'd say something again. People were like, what in the world does this mean? Prophets would speak. They would do weird, you know, like dress up in a set of clothes, get it all dirty and then bury it. And, you know, it was really mystical in a lot of ways. But the author of Hebrews, who I believe is Paul, said to us in Hebrews chapter 1, he said, God, who in different times and different ways spoke in the past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us in his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. So what he says is, actually, what used to be really complicated and mysterious, I've made it very simple for you. Because if you are trying to evaluate a situation, if you want to know what do I believe and what don't I believe, you don't have to go to scholars. You don't have to solve a big puzzle. You don't have to let some historical expert shed light on it. You don't need archaeological confirmation of it. You know Jesus. You know the truth. You know what matters, and you can trust it, because everything else that the Bible says about God, Jesus is the ultimate manifestation of God. So if you see something in the Bible, but you're like, I don't know, I can't see Jesus doing that, then you're misunderstanding the Bible. The way we interpret the Bible is to use Jesus, who we know, who lived on this earth for 32, 33 years. We saw him, disciples, eyewitness account, day in and day out. We have a pretty good handle on who Jesus is. Ultimately, he is our source for truth. When we are figuring out what the truth is, what we can know for sure, it all centers around him. It centers around, you know, if our guidance comes from what he says, our sense of belief, our sense of conviction, our understanding of truth comes from who he is. And that's why it's so important for us to know Jesus, because he is the way, he is our leader. He is the truth. He reveals to us exactly what it is that we need to know. He is a source of that. That's pretty simple, and you might think it's I'm oversimplifying, but tell Jesus about it. This is just what he says. And, you know, Jesus took the whole Old Testament, all the rules of the Old Testament, and he goes, let me summarize it for you. Love God and love people. There you go. That's what you need to know. And then he demonstrated that by a love for his Father, a willingness to submit even to a torturous death because he was submitting to the Father. And at the same time, he was kind to people who were attacking him. He washed the feet of Judas right before Judas betrayed him. So you get the feeling of, you know who Jesus is. Now he's just saying, I'm the truth. I am your basis for what philosophers call epistemology. Epistemology is, how do you know what's true and what isn't? You don't even know it by evidence. You don't know it by the credentials of the person who tells it to you. You don't know the truth by comparing it to what has been believed throughout church history. If you know Jesus, you know the truth that matters. And he says, you guys think you don't know the way, you know the way. You guys think you don't know the truth, you know the truth. Ultimately then, though, as he says, I'm the life. I am the one who creates your life. I am the one who gives you your identity. And let's look at some of the verses that he goes into on that. Well, beginning with verse 12, he said, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. You'll do the stuff I do. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Wow. So I go, who am I? He says, you're a guy who, because you know me, you have the power to make a difference. You have the opportunity to pray to my Father in my name. You can go to him even as I have gone to him. And the truth is, stuff's gonna happen in your life that will amaze people. You will see miracles happening. Now, you don't need to manufacture miracles. You don't need some fake evangelist that's like, oh, one of your legs is shorter than the other one, and you're like, no, it's not. See, I just fixed it. You don't need that kind of, you know, nonsense. I healed you from a disease you didn't even know you had. But if we are living our lives with Jesus, if we are praying, in his name. Stuff's happening. We may not even know everything that happens. But Jesus says, you want a personal identity? How about that you, as someone who has given your life to Jesus Christ, you have the privilege of using his name and changing the world and having things happen that wouldn't have happened otherwise. Now you might go, well, wait, how does that fit with God's sovereignty? I don't know. It's just Jesus. Talk to him about it if you have a hard time with this. He says, stuff's going to happen because you pray, because of the life that I am giving you. I am going to make you significant. I am going to use you in crucial ways, in all sorts of different ways, because that's who you are now.
You're listening to The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Rolfe. As we go through the Gospel of John together, there may come a time when you'd like to hear a message again. You can do so rather easily at thebalancedword.com or call and request a CD copy at 949-362-7475. By the way, we're making this complete series in John available to you on a thumb drive for a donation of $10 or more. Go through this powerful gospel from start to finish with Pastor Dave. Again, call 949-362-7475 and we can help you with that. Please remember, it's your support that allows us to bring the teaching of God's Word to the radio every day. Thank you for standing with us. Again, we can be reached at 949-362-7475. Or you can make a donation and resource request online at thebalancedword.com. We'd like to invite you to visit us at Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. Pastor Dave Rolfe teaches most weekends, and you can hear him teach the Word Sunday morning at 8, 9:45, and 11:30. He always enjoys meeting his listeners, so please say hi after the service. Visit ccpacifichills.org for more information. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. We have a couple of minutes left with you, so let's get back into John chapter 14 with Pastor Dave.
Down in verse 19, he says, a little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live, you will live also. You're going to have a life because I'm the life. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it's he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. In other words, you want to know who you are. You want to know who your identity is. You are someone who Jesus loves. John knew this. And so whenever John in his gospel refers to himself, instead of saying, I'll never forget when I did this, he always refers to himself as the disciple who Jesus loved. Now, if you're feeling insignificant, if you're thinking, boy, I don't know if I've accomplished anything in life, I would say, well, are you praying and changing the world through your prayers? Secondly, are you somebody who understands that God loves you? You actually know God more than you think you do, and he is someone who you love, who you are in a relationship with. It's really amazing when you think about it. Talk about a meaning in life to understand that I am in a relationship with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's just incredible. Now, in verse 25, he says, these things I've spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Whoa, I don't have to just remember what he said. The Holy Spirit is inside of me, which makes me incredibly special, incredibly blessed, incredibly lucky. And he will draw me to the words that Jesus says because we have that relationship. That's something that we share together. I'm participating. When we get to John 17, Jesus' high priestly prayer in a few weeks, one of the most amazing things that Jesus prays for his disciples and for all of us, is that the way that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are related, that we would participate in that divine fellowship. Wow. And if Jesus prayed it, it must have happened. We are connected in an amazing way. Now, what could be a more amazing life than to be someone who is picked out by God, who God is working in a special way. He is, by His Spirit, living in you. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and God is speaking to you, and He's showing you the truth. He's making a difference in your life. When you pray, things will happen. You are someone who He has a completely special reason for why you are here. That's who you are. That is your identity. And to me, that's just amazing.
More about the way, the truth, and the life coming your way next time on The Balanced Word as Dave Roth takes another look at John chapter 14. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo.
Wake up my soul.